Top of that, he was nicknamed very quickly, this may come as a shock to him, Gunkard Stern. That was his name. And we called him Gunky.
Radio Gunk.
He's on the Rhythm Nation tour.
Radio Gunk.
Greetings, everyone.
Oh, my God. So I decided to go live tonight for no good reason other than I need to take my mind off of the stupid fucking election stuff. And what better thing to discuss than Nick DiPaolo interviewing Artie Lang today? And so we haven't been on the air for a hot minute. I'll tell you why. I've been down with a little bit of a ear infection for the last week or so, and it's been absolutely killing me. Plus I've you know sometimes you just either are into doing it or you're not, you know. And this is one of those times of the year where I'm just not really into doing it. And to be quite honest with you, there is nothing on the Stern Show that has been of any interest whatsoever. And I find it really hard to listen to lately. You know, it's been, I mean, really, it's him sitting in his basement talking about the virus, which he loves to call COVID-19, as if he knows anything other than those words, and kind of puts everybody into this weird alternative universe where it's okay to, you know, sit in your house like you're Hitler in the fucking bunker waiting to die, and not really kind of participating in life and or society. And then on top of that, and listen, I'm taking no political affiliation here whatsoever. I just want this whole fucking thing to be over. But the way they were beating the shit out of Ronnie and was just really nauseating. And it just made me really upset and sad for, you know, a 70-year-old that has to be pressured into telling people who he's deciding to vote for. I, quite honestly, if I was Ronnie, I literally would have just said, you know what, go fuck yourselves. Or lied, really. Just either come out and say you're voting for Trump, or that you're voting for Biden, or that you're voting for Kanye. Like, who gives a shit? You know, if the end result was supposed to be, you know, Ralph coming on air and telling us whether he's gay or not, not necessarily sure that the payoff was worth it. And I'm positive that Howard was mad at him about that. You know, I'm pretty sure that that was like a little bit of a trigger point for him. And I don't think Ronnie gives a fuck anymore. So I think that yeah, I think it's been a horrible, horrible month of shows, and we will be doing a Weeks in Review probably next week sometime. I am going to try and bang out a bunch of shows next week. I am doing a show with Matt, who you may have heard on here once or twice, that used to be part of the Mini Fan Show, and you know, he just wants to do the most outrageous Gilbert Gottfried moments. So he pulled that together for us in terms of the clips, and I think that'll be a really fun listen. And, you know, you'll just see how incredibly outrageous Gilbert used to be on the show, and I think that'll be a lot of fun. Yes, Rich, we do all know that Ralph is gay. Nobody cares. That's the whole point. You know, this wasn't something that anybody really cared about, and that's what the show has become. I mean, oh my God, it has been torture for me to listen to the show. And thank God for Dennis doing the Lord's work and doing that listening thread in the mornings, because I just have no thoughts about being involved in it or listening to it. And it has become so, so difficult. And I really, really dislike him. And it's just not good. So, you know, imagine the dichotomy of doing a show that's based on Howard Stern, and it's really, really hard to even listen to him. So, yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. I know John a lot of times feels the same way. Any of you who are just tuning in, haven't been on for like 2 weeks or so. I've been dealing with a horrific ear infection, and it hasn't made me happy. And, you know, I can't sleep on like my left side. It's finally going away. But I figured, you know, this is a perfect day to get our collective thumbs out of our asses about this election and just have a little discussion about what happened on the Nick DiPaolo interview of Artie Lang. Yeah, of course, Beth Orexic. Dennis is doing the Lord's work. Listening to Wiggy makes me cringe. So true. It's just really becoming really, really hard to listen to a scared old man sitting in his basement, which is exactly what he's become. It's almost like the dude that just reads books in the Twilight Zone in the security room at the bank, and he's perfectly happy whilst the entirety of the world disappears outside. That's who Howard's become. You know, he's very, very happy in this world. Oh, my God. And then the Eddie Vedder interview, which went on, I don't know, 2 hours? 2:15, something like that, after he berated Ronnie again. Hold on. I have to take off my jacket. It's rubbing against the mic, and it's driving me crazy. Give me 1 second. Okay, sorry. All right, so yeah, Princess Kitty made a thread on the Howard Stern forums today about Artie going on the Nick DiPaolo show, and I came home and I saw that he had already posted it, which I didn't think it was going to happen. But you know, the thing is, you kind of never know with Artie when he's actually going to call and when he's going to be available for you. So I always used to chalk that up to being about the drugs. And I don't know if I ever told you guys the story of how and by the way, you know, just so you know, I am on a little bit of drugs. So if I am all over the place, it's because of that. So I apologize in advance. What was I going to say? Oh, about Artie. So I don't know if I told you guys the story about how one time Jackie was going on the Artie show. I must have told you the story. And so Artie called the show for 8 o'clock. And so I guess Jackie went over there with like two or three other people that were going to be on the show with him as well, like other comedians or whatever. And Artie starts the show at like 8:15. And then around 9 o'clock excuses himself and leaves and goes into his bedroom, and 9:30, 10 o'clock, 10:30, 11 o'clock, 11:30, quarter to 12. And one of his enablers was like, he'll be out, just give him some time. You know, he just needs this time alone and he'll be out soon and whatever. And Jackie's kind of freaking out because, you know, he's not the youngest guy and he's getting kind of tired and whatever. And yeah, they didn't start the interview again until like 1 o'clock in the morning. And it went on until like 2:30 or something like that. So it was a little crazy. So that's Artie's way. And even when we were interviewing Artie, as you all know, you know, he just texted me one day and said, okay, I'm ready to do it. Can you be ready in 15? And I'm like, holy fuck, I haven't even prepared anything. And, you know, I'm furiously trying to call John and see if I can get him on the horn so that we can like do this together. And, you know, John's like still in his, you know, dazed stupor from the night before. And so, yeah, if we get the chance to interview Artie again, I feel like it'll be a different story. And remember that we were, I think, one of the last interviews that Artie did before he actually got busted again for cocaine use and then had to go back into drug jail. So, no, not drugs. I have an ear infection, you dummy. so it's not like that. Okay, so let's listen to a little bit of this. Now, just remember, I know that you guys did a whole thread on it. I haven't really read through it, and nor have I had a chance to listen to this. So I'm interested in hearing what he has to say. And let's go to it. So hang on. Let me pull it up for us. Give me a second here. And I'll put it on the side so we don't get in trouble. So can we just discuss Nick DiPaolo for a hot second here, please? Am I crazy in imagining that the fucking guy looks like totally juiced? Like what goes on with a Nick DiPaolo? Now, I'm not going to lie. I'm not really... I used to think he was kind of funny, but then he got, you know, I don't like comedians who get political, and I feel like he is. and a tiny ween. And I think that he's I don't know what the fuck goes on with a Nick DiPaolo, but is he doing the show from like a tenement apartment? Like what? I'm very fuzzy on a Nick DiPaolo. All I know is that he looks like he's juicing a little bit and it kind of freaks me out a little. I'm not going to lie. So let's, yeah, he is red. He looks, something's going on. And, you know, did you guys say that he was like smoking furiously in this? Yeah, I don't get it. All I know is that I do know that Artie and Nick are really, really close friends. I think that Nick is probably one of his closest contemporaries in the comedy, you know, scene, along with probably, you know, Bob Levy and people like that. Nick DiPaolo is part of that whole Jim Florentine. Like, they are kind of like that crew. So the first thing I kind of noticed about this when it first popped up on YouTube is he will tell you all about his life in this. Oh, great. Okay. Looking forward to it. Okay. Is that Artie is not on cam. So I'm curious about that. Does he mention why he's not on cam? Does he talk about why we're not seeing Artie, which by the way, that's probably the best post drug breakdown picture of Artie that we will probably ever see. I'm just curious if he's actually, I'm almost getting used to him looking like that. So it's kind of weird to me if he actually gets his nose done again, if he'll look any different. Obviously he'll look different, but you know, this gives him kind of like a Rocky Graziano kind of look, you know, that he's like been a professional boxer for his life. And, you know, when I used to live on the East Side, I used to see, who's the guy from Raging Bull? I can't even remember his name. I wish John was here. I didn't even ask him to come on. So apologies in advance. Jake LaMotta. Yeah, Jake LaMotta used to live on, like 53rd Street and 1st Avenue. And he lived in like a fifth floor walk up or something, you know, right on 1st Avenue. And you would see him Jake LaMotta, not De Niro, you silly boy. You'd see him like shuffling down the street. And he had like horrific cauliflower ears and his nose was caved in, very, very, very similar to Artie's. You know, I'm sure boxing took its toll on him. All right, so let's take a listen and see what goes on here. So I'm just going to assume that it's just a phone interview. Let me know if there's any problems with hearing this, but hopefully this works. So here we go.
On the line with me right now, okay, and one of my favorite people in the whole world. We've been through a lot together. I can't imagine being one of his girlfriends. Holy shit. It's the great, and I will stress this, not late, Artie Lang. Artie, how are you, buddy?
What's going on, Nick? Good to see you. Good to see you. You had a chance to be one of my girlfriends several times. You turned me down. it's good to hear from you in Georgia.
Yeah.
Doing your show, doing your thing.
Oh, man, I should have moved here in high school. You know me, Artie. I'm one pickup truck away from... from buying overalls, I should say. Hey, let me ask you, Artie, real quick, because this is the question everybody wants to know.
I'm sorry, before we get into this, what did he just say? Is this like a backdrop? He's not in some tenement apartment on the Lower East Side? Where the fuck is he living? But Princess Kitty did say that he would like review this with us. So, okay, so we'll wait. All right, here we go.
Where have you been? What have you been doing the last 6 months? Because every time I go on the road, I get this question. Since you and I ended the Nick and Artie show, they always go, where's Artie? And I always have like three stock answers. I go, he's either in jail or in rehab. And I said, if I'm in a shitty mood, I go, hey, I'm not his wet nurse. Fucking here's his phone number. Call him. But
that's the usual answer, I bet they get.
What have you been doing?
Thanks for asking. I took it down a couple of notches because I came back and I've stayed clean and sober. That's like a full time job, you know. I go to meetings on Zoom. In the summertime, they had some AA meetings outdoors that I attended. And,
no kidding.
Yeah, I work a program, and I just thought that I had to, you know, sort of retreat a little bit from the work I was doing to make that happen and stay out of jail, stay out of rehab. But I've been clean now almost 2 years. So, you know.
Wow.
Okay. we know that's not true, right? Because we know, right? We know that that's not true because we know that that's not true. Okay, so it's been 6 months since we heard from him. Didn't he fail like drug court right after we interviewed him, and then didn't he go into some sort of drug jail right after that, and then didn't he come out? I'm a little confused about him saying 2 years. Okay, and especially if it has been 2 years. What precipitated him just falling out of you know, out of the sky and you know, never to be seen again after that last tweet that he did, which is actually approximately 6 months ago? Yes, he absolutely always ups his clean time. That is very true. And listen, we want to give we want to give Artie all the benefit of the doubt, but we do always give Artie the benefit of the doubt. Always, always, always. So yeah, Zoom meetings. Okay, so he's doing Zoom AA meetings. Yeah, at best it's a year. You're absolutely right. But let's continue on. Molly Ringwine. I just had a Photoshop of him as Grandma Caprio flushing my head. Okay, let's hear on.
Yeah, and it's a different life. It's a different life. You know, doing drugs is a full-time job, and it takes up a lot of time, and you got to do something else in your time to you got to get it. You know, get a different life. You meet people that are in the same struggle a little bit, and you try to hang out with them more, you know. And that's the thing. If you got to make sacrifices, like take back work a little bit, that's what you got to do. So that's what I did. And that's what I've been doing the past 6 months. People have been very nice online from what I've seen. And, you know, they're concerned. I'm sorry people give you such shit for it, but...
No. They do it out of love, man. Are you...
Yeah, by the way, and let us not forget that every single month I have on my phone as a reminder that this is like month four, that Artie's not been around, or month five, or month two, or month six. And... And yeah, you know, there was so much speculation. I had heard from some people via PM that he was living with his mom, which I think is probably the truth. And again, I haven't listened to this whole conversation, so maybe he does mention it. So apologies in advance if he does say something about it. Let's just continue it, and then we can talk about this. All right, hang on.
Bored, Artie? Like, do you feel? I mean, because you know, when you're a party hardy like that all your life, are you crawling the walls? Or, you know.
Not really. No, it's part of that was part of that happened in the beginning, but you know, it's not so much.
So what's the beginning? Like, okay, so part of that was in the beginning. Like, was this a choice? You know, and maybe I'm parsing words a little bit too much, but at the beginning, kind of to me. Almost means like that you were starting something that you had to do, right? Does that make any sense? Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'm reading too much into it. Here we go.
Much. It's just like thinking clearer. You know, you start to think clearer, and you start to think, wow, you know, I did this, I did that, and it's trying to, you know, get over a lot of the stuff that you did when you were messed up. You know, and trying to figure out a way to live without you thinking all the stuff you thought was.
Sorry. Okay. I just posted up here, Stern Fan Nation, what he wrote. Glad already took a break from show life. It's a good thing. The road was killing him. I'd rather be alive than be in show life and on the road. Now, here's the problem. The problem is that an Arthur Lang on the road is an Artie that runs into people that will always give him drugs. So that's why so many comedians that we know of and that we hear of and that we talk about go to AA or don't drink anymore or used to be alcoholics, because, you know, it constantly, there's constantly people coming up to you to buy you drinks, you know, and then by the time they get to the second set, they're completely shit-faced and, you know, they must have had an amazing set at 7, and then by the time 11 o'clock rolls around, you know, somebody's plied them with 14 fucking drinks and they're barely coherent. And so a lot of comedians in the arty realm of people are in AA and do not drink it at all anymore. So, yeah, the road is something that I think he needed, because, you know, I'm under the personal impression that he probably didn't have a lot of money saved after, you know, he took a loss on the place in Jersey. And, you know, apparently he owns the condo that his mother lives in. And so he pays for that as well as his own place. I had heard word that that his mother's place was for sale. And I know nothing about whether or not he, you know, he's sober in this. I got nothing.
It was exciting. And it wasn't exciting. It was just, it was exciting, but it was also dangerous.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Stuff just threw shit to the wind at along for a long time. You start to realize you can't do that anymore. You know.
Do so, do you look back and go?
But not crawling the walls in the beginning. That's the case. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I did a lot of that in rehab, you know, and got that over with. And then you come out, and you know, you got. That's why meeting other people, they, you know, you get involved in their world, and, you know, it's like making friends again. It's a whole process, you know, but you embrace it and you figure your life is worth it, you know?
Yeah. After watching the news, I'm not sure you're right, but, the fuck is going on?
How are you doing down there in Georgia?
Oh, I'd never been happier, man. I you know, this show took off. Thank God. I hooked up with Tommy, who knows what he's doing in marketing wise. And, I live in this beautiful neighborhood, and this when you look at Savannah, you think of those Spanish moss trees, the Spanish moss hanging down. I live on
right. I've been to Savannah. Yeah.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
You know. So yeah, and the studio. I found a studio 9 minutes from my house.
Oh, you're right. We're gonna get the whole Nick DiPaolo. This is your life situation now. Okay, we will listen on. Hang on.
As opposed to when you used,
wow.
I used to sit on the Sawmill Parkway at 5 o'clock to try to get to our radio gig that you and I had at the beginning. Remember? And I used to be out of my fucking. I'd literally go to a bar, which didn't help the Nick and Artie show. But I'd literally have to have three drinks to take the edge off, because I'd be out of my mind. I come into the Comedy Cellar and Colin goes, "Why are you so crazy that there's traffic in New York?" And I go, "It doesn't matter that I know it's coming. It doesn't make it any less fucking annoying." And I just, I used to have
right,
my best
sense. That is
sense.
A different life than living in Savannah, Georgia.
Oh,
I mean,
my
that is like,
God.
Forget about it.
But it's not too slow. You know, I mean, Artie, it's not too slow. I mean, first thing I did when I got down here, Artie, I bought a handgun. And literally the second day I got here, I bought a handgun. I put it on my lap and I drove through the Chick-fil-A drive-thru. I just wanted to get a reaction from the person in the window. Didn't even phase them. They're like, "Hey, that's a 6.42 lightweight, ain't it? Smith & Wesson, that's a revolver." I go, "How did you know that?" Like,
you know, the problem with Nick is he can't shut the fuck up. And so all I want to know about is what's going on with Artie. And what I can see from here is that we literally only have 11 minutes left with Arthur. I know there's a part two that you guys are talking about. And I'm hoping if we're still on air at 8 o'clock and he goes live, we can all listen to it live together. So I'll try and drag this out for as long as I can. But, you know, I'm not really caring about your life story there, Nicholas DiPaolo. Not going to lie. Yeah, I bet you're right, Princess Kitty. I bet you Artie is like really fat now. You're exactly right. And that's why he doesn't want everybody saying the same thing. If he's sober, he's as big as a house. All right, so let's move on.
The person could see the gun?
Yeah, it was on my lap.
On my lap.
I did it on purpose, just to let them know there was a crazy Yankee. And they're like, "That's a 6.42 light." I go, "How do you know that?" And they're like, "Well, I shot my stepdad. He's trying to fuck my sister last Christmas." And I go, well, that's a nice story, Pam, but can I get some more ketchup, please?
Yeah, okay. So now we go into, like, the all Southerners are backwater fucking my sister trope thing that he's got going on. I don't know, Nick. Whatever. Okay, let me move on.
You don't feel any danger having a gun in the house?
Well, it depends on what time of the month it is with the wife. That's the only time I get a little nervous. But no, I feel just the opposite. I have a handgun, and I bought a couple months ago. I got an AR-15. I mean, I'm in the South. We have to do this.
Are you fucking kidding me? Seriously. I'm in the South now. We have to do this. You know, Nick DiPaolo sounds like every, like, 19-year-old I knew who didn't go off to fucking college but instead decided to be a cop. And they were so thrilled with themselves that they were actually able to carry a fucking gun, because those are the same guys who used to shove M80s up cats' fucking asses to watch them blow up because they're all fucking crazy. Very, very important you got that gun. Thanks, Nick.
What do you do? What do you do? Where do you go shoot? You go to a range?
Yes.
Like in Savannah, can you just go right in your backyard and shoot a tree if you want?
No, I'm in a residential area. But there's here's what I love about Savannah, Artie. Everything is literally 2.5 miles from my house. I swear to God. So I get the gun. I'm like, I know there's a range in Savannah somewhere. I Google it. It's at 1.9 miles from your house, an indoor range. And I went right there, and it's so funny. The first day I went there, there was a guy.
Nick DiPaolo in Savannah, which is very genteel and beautiful, is kind of like being a Gindaloon in the witness protection program. Like, you know, you see a Nick DiPaolo, like, you know, talking his talk like he talks like that and all fucking juiced up and shit, carrying around his fucking gun, smoking cigarettes. I've seen him on air smoking cigars as well. You could just imagine. See, this is why the terrorists hate us. This is why South versus North is always going to be a fucking thing, because you got, like, Officer fucking Nick on the job, you know, being like Uber Gindaloon down in fucking Savannah. I just can't even imagine exactly. Wait, who's the other one too? Wasn't it like Shaq or somebody a fucking cop as well? Nick's on deputy beat with Steven Seagal and Barney Fife. Oh my God. Okay, yeah, he is a little bit gross, not gonna lie.
Guy in there, Artie, with a military grade machine gun. They warned us before we went in that it's extremely loud, even with your headphones on. Fucking every time this guy shot this thing, my heart would like defibrillate. I've never felt anything.
Yeah. If you remember when we were in Afghanistan up in that helicopter.
Yeah.
Were you up in the helicopter when the guy was letting me shoot the? I couldn't shoot a mountain. The thing had such a kick.
Yeah,
in it.
We both shot it.
This redneck Marine was going, shoot that.
Oh my God. Okay, so let me just read what AP Morgan just said. I don't like to see you come out of this clean country with your oily hair, dressed up in those silk suits, passing yourselves off as decent Americans. I'll do business with you, but the fact is that I despise your masquerade, the dishonest way you pose yourself. Are those your words, or is that from a movie that I don't know and haven't seen? I'm sorry. Apologies if that's what that is. And Nick DiPaolo telling tales that make Wiggy double take totally. That's why you'll never see Nick DiPaolo on the Howard Stern show again. What was that quote from? Oh, because it's going to make me sad that I don't know. Godfather 2. All right, yeah, so I was going to make a thread about that today. The movies, you know, amazing classic movies that you've never seen, and I've never seen Godfather. Don't beat me up. I don't care what you say. I tried to watch Godfather 2 one time, and I fell fast asleep. I've also never seen Caddyshack. So, yeah, that's – I'm sorry about that. All right, that was brilliant. So, yeah, AP Morgan, I thought, wow, he's being so articulate and literate in this. And, of course, you were quoting a fucking movie.
Shoot that mountain. I'm like, I can't shoot the mountain.
Yeah.
It was just kicking back so hard, and it was so insanely loud. I had the headsets on, but, you know.
Yeah.
You're talking about that at, like, a shooting range in Georgia.
Yeah, inside, you know, with bad
acoustics.
Oh, my God, it was fine. So, you know, just to give Antifa an idea what they might face if they want to come into the suburbs down here. But, I mean, you can't find ammunition down here or fuck. It is unbelievable. I'm making my own ammunition. I'm in my basement, you know.
I'm sorry, this is funny. How? What are we supposed to – what's supposed to be the –
takeaway of this whole thing. Oh my God. Hey, Shane Camp. Oh my God. I'm so happy to see you. I've missed you. I've missed you on YouTube, and I'm so glad that you're here. Seriously. What is this? I just saw Lost Boys for the first time. Yeah, you know, some movies just don't hold up. They don't. Yeah, no, I've never seen The Godfather. All right, let me continue this. And Reacher is knocking on the goddamn door. I hear you. Hang on. Do you hear him? Hold on.
Using my wife's biscuits from fucking Thanksgiving. But
so you learned how to make bullets?
Yeah.
Well, maybe that's it. Maybe I should eventually come down there and get a gun and just start shooting things. Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
I wonder if it would work the same at a Burger King, if the kid would care at a Burger King. I think he might.
Yeah, Burger King, the guy will have stick a gun in your face.
Why is Nick so red? What's going on with him? Is he... Yes, I've seen Blues Brothers, but only once, and I think it was on DVD or tape or something like that. Yeah, I know I should watch The Godfather, but I swear to you, I even tried to watch the one where they kind of combine them and do it in sequential order, and it was on AMC or something like that last year, I guess it was, and I just couldn't do it. I don't know why. I feel like what it is that I really dislike Al Pacino, and I couldn't, and I hate him as an actor. So I just, everything about him came back to like Scent of a Woman or whatever, that hoo-ah thing. And I just couldn't do it. Tiger Lily, why in God's name would you be blocked from a thread on our site? Who would ever block you? I don't even understand this. No, I don't think Nick is supposed to be funny. I don't know anything about Nick other than the roast that we did of that idiot Ralph a couple of weeks ago. So I'm not really sure. Stern Fan Nation, we may think the million-dollar question is where's Artie Lang? Wrong. The million-dollar question is where's Crazy Alice? Who dat? Answer is Alice wants to be paid for appearances on The Wiggy Show. Yeah, I don't blame her. Doesn't everybody? All right, let's continue on.
Himself. But what's great about it, Artie, is my buddy Zook, you know Zook, he was a cop for 33 years in Miami.
Yeah, a cop, yeah.
So he came down here, and his life dream was to buy like a rundown house on a big farm. And so he bought a house about an hour and a half from here on 30 acres of land. And I said to him, I said, you're like fucking English Bob Unforgiven. I'm going to come on there. You're going to be on the roof, and it's all crooked and shit. But
you talking about the Queen again, Zook, on Independence Day?
He's got what? Here's the beauty of that, Artie. 30 acres? I'm going to go down there every weekend with my gun.
Again, we are now 9 minutes into the conversation with Artie. And Nick has not shut the fuck up about his life. And I get that, you know, Artie asked him the question. Obviously, they have not been in touch with each other since Artie's asking him the what's going on, how you doing questions. So I got to believe that Artie's really, really been persona non grata to everyone. Like, he's been out of touch with everyone. And I think because he's so close with Nick, I'm sure Nick reached out to him, you know, on Twitter or something, because there's no way he has Artie's phone number. Because P.S., in the amount of time from when I first started trying to pursue Artie to the moment that we got him on the show, he had changed phone numbers 5 times. Maybe 6, but 5 times for sure that I know of. So keeping up and keeping abreast of where Artie is a very difficult thing to kind of accomplish. So I said Nick live back way in New York City. I just don't get it. Just unfunny. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, Tiger Lily, is just to catch you up on what's going on. Nothing. We've heard. So Nick has been telling us about how he's buying guns down in Savannah and shooting them off in a shooting range. And Artie has basically just told us that he's been off the grid for the last 6 months. That's pretty much all we have gotten thus far. Just because not everyone should have a show. A good interview should involve interesting questions and shut up and listen to get. Yes, I agree with you 1,000%. I hope to do another Artie interview at some point in the future and let him just fucking say whatever he wants.
guns. You know, you can fucking 30 acres. We can shoot all over the
place. 30 acres. Holy shit. Like, but so what, you live in just a, you live in just a regular house.
I live in a, yeah, I just have a, you know, a nice little backyard and yeah, I live on like the most beautiful street in Savannah. That's from people Savannah say that. So yeah, no, it's very nice. But again, the best part is the airport is 18 minutes away. My work is 9 minutes away. Anytime you need something, it's a college town, so it's not like a bunch of old people. There's young people, and it's got everything. And you know, I know you can't drink anymore, but they have the most beautiful bars and restaurants.
Oh my God! Shut up! Shut up!
I was looking online at some old shows of you and I, you know, of the Nick and Artie show.
Okay, so look at Nick at this point. Nick looks like a caricature of a 40-something-year-old Gindaloon, and Artie, the wannabe Gindaloon, look what goes on. Artie still wears that jacket, by the way. Still wears those pants. Probably still wears that T-shirt that probably says Villanova on it. Nick is like a little weird-looking, not going to lie. He actually looks like Walter Mercado, the horoscope guy, if he had, you know, cut his hair really short and decided that it wasn't going to be orange anymore. He's kind of a curiously weird-looking man. I don't think I like him.
I found the clip. And I think the hardest we both laugh was you were talking about, you're like, yeah, me and my uncle, we're installing, I don't know if it was ductwork or cable, and you go at a beautiful guy's house instead of a guy's beautiful house. Do you remember that one? And I go, what are you putting a foyer in at fucking Fabian's house? What the fuck? I look at those pictures. I still have them on my iPad and on my phone of you and I in like Times Square when we first got the DirecTV deal. Literally, our faces are on a giant electronic billboard in Times Square. And then cut to, you know, a month later, we have a celebrity chef on our show, on the DirecTV show. And Artie's actually throwing like fucking macaroni at him during this segment. I mean, I've never laughed and been more appalled in my life. But
yeah, no, I'd say appalling is the word.
I mean, you were involved now in this thing, this platform with Tommy, our manager.
Okay, did they cut something out here? Can I just listen to that real quick for a second? Hang on. Tell me if they cut something here.
I mean, I've never laughed and been more appalled in my life. But
yeah, no, I'd say appalling is the word.
I mean, you were involved now in this thing, this platform with Tommy, our manager, the comics gym.
Yeah, that's where that's where Artie.
Okay, did he just say Tommy, our manager? So is that how we got a hold of him? I'm kind of thinking. Is that what he just said? I don't feel like rewinding it again because this is really actually boring.
This show is going to be Halfway House. Jim Florentine's on there. Otto and the late, great Otto and George. And
we have a dead guy on the platform.
We have a dead guy on the platform. You know what? I've been watching Otto's clips, though, on YouTube for like a month, Artie. Oh, my God. Crying out loud. I had my buddy Zook, the cop, watch it. He had never seen Otto and George before. The guy, I can't talk to him now without my buddy going, a cock. We were watching clips of him hosting the Porn Awards, and this had to be Christ. It says, I think it said 1998 on it, right? And he's doing his filthy shit and killing. And they cut to the audience. They kept putting, you know, audience shots in there like they do with comedy. And, you know, it was always like a hot porn star or some shit. But one of the ones, he's doing like, he goes, Michael Jackson, he did it. He did it to those kids. He goes, those kids were so young. After they blew him, he had to burp some of them. And they put the camera on fucking, you know who's there? Robert Goulet. I mean, he was so goddamn funny.
Okay. Yes, that's exactly right. Fairway made, and you hit the nail on the head. So we still know nothing about Artie except he's alive and not in jail. Yeah, see, so they are dumping all over the fucking place here. That's why they keep cutting to, like, these solid clips so that you don't see the skipping of Nick's, you know, live shot while he's talking. That's, like, a classic thing that you do when you want to skip clips and put something else on. Yeah, so I'm kind of curious. Somebody actually posted the Otto and George thing that he's talking about, which I'll play afterwards, which I'm sure is infinitely funnier than what's going on here. Yeah, there are no odds, Katie, that that Artie turns up with a rebuilt nose and he's ripped. You know, this sounds like fat Artie. Not going to lie, this is chunky Artie. You know, this is Artie who might even be okay. So I watched this show called This Is Us, which, not going to lie, makes me cry at the end of every goddamn episode. And so there's these, you know, siblings, right? Two brothers and a sister. One brother is black. One is hot as fuck. And then the sister has to be, I don't know, 400 or something. And she, like, they show pictures of her in bed with her husband, and she's, you know, sitting on her back reading in bed. And I'm like, there's no fucking way she can breathe. There's no way that her lungs are not collapsing into her tits and she can't fucking breathe. And yeah, and you can hear the fat in her voice also. And it's like, it's amazing to me. She actually has a fat clause in her contract that she can't lose weight until her character loses weight. So she actually has to lose weight with her character on air, and that they'll help pay for it and they'll give her training and the whole thing. But she literally has to stay at like 400 pounds. But that's what it sounds like that she can't even. I know, every fucking episode, I can't take it anymore. It's just horrible. And you know what? Listen, I watch it because it's a perfect thing to watch whilst trying to keep your mind off of politics and everything that's going on in the world. You know, it's total escapism of somebody else's fucked up life. You know, not going to lie. Not like when you were a kid and you watched the Brady Bunch and you're like, oh my God, I'd give anything to live in a house that big and for my dad to be like a architect and, you know, not living in bunk beds with my fucking sister who would kick the bottom of my bed, you know, just to like pain me and, you know, and have like sisters that cared about you and a fucking nanny who actually cooked for you. And, you know, Sam always brought meat over and, you know, he wanted to bang Alice for fucking months. And, you know, it's just whatever. All right, let's move on. It is not the worst show in the world. It makes me cry. God damn it.
And they brought out these, you know, five or six actresses, porno actresses, and one of them had the biggest, fakest tits I've ever seen. And fucking, of course, the puppet went nuts on her, you know. Hey, he goes, look alive! First he yells at her. He's just a fuck. He goes, excuse me, miss. He goes, do you take cream with your coffee? A cock.
Well, so. I'm happy for you, man, because this thing is exciting with Tommy. That is, because it is really like in the new world of entertainment to have that kind of freedom. But, you know, I'm happy for you that you're so happy, man. You know, you
look at him actually on his cell phone while he's talking to Artie. This is so bizarre to me.
You worked hard your whole life. You're one of the best comics out there, man.
Thank you, man. You've always said that about me. And
look at how it's about
flattered.
Him.
Coming from one of the funniest people.
How is this? How did this swing around to be about Nick DiPaolo and him just taking the thank yous and not throwing it right back at Artie? Oh my God, I think I hate him. Okay.
On the planet, not to blow each other. But no, I mean, seriously, Artie, nobody tells a story like Artie.
So 3 minutes left. We've learned nothing. Okay. 16 minutes and 12 second interview. We've learned nothing.
Please tell the people about Uncle Sal and the show he was watching when you came home one night.
This is my Uncle Sonny.
Sonny, sorry.
Eating some wet mozzarella like an apple.
Of course.
His favorite show at the end of the last 5 years of his life, he watched nothing but television.
Yeah.
And his favorite show was Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And
blue collar guy.
I said to him, Uncle Son, what is this show about? And he looked at me with a full mouth and he went, "It's a Jew broad fights Dracula's."
To this day,
we all know that joke. We all use it on the website. It's actually probably one of the funniest things he's ever said, and he doesn't even get credit for it.
It's the funniest. I've told that to more people. A Jew broad that fights Dracula's plural. I mean that Norman Lear couldn't have come up with something that funny if he wanted to, you know, so-called be a bigoted
Yeah, classic Artie doesn't shut the fuck up. And it's Nick is playing Artie in this clip. We're all just ripping it to Nick DePaul. If you blow your eyes, he's got headlights on his forehead.
That's bumper sticker ready, that line, that right off the top of his head. And the fact that he made Dracula's plural is unbelievable.
And then
something the people at the gun range, that's something the people at the gun range in Savannah would love.
Oh my God, would they ever? I did a show. My best show within the last 2 years was in Dallas at the. It's a
me, my, blah blah blah.
Theater that Oswald, they shot Oswald at in Dallas.
Oh, okay.
And
you're watching a movie.
Yeah, exactly. And they show me the seat and everything. But I did a show there, Artie, and the stuff that the jokes that would make people cringe in New York and everywhere, right. Even in the, it would make people cringe in the South or the Midwest. I'm talking hardcore shit that you and I would laugh at. They would give me an applause break on in Dallas. And I'm like, I got to shoot something here.
I need to shut Nick DePaulo up for a second. Yeah, maybe Artie joined like Nexium and he has a branded tattoo on his fucking vagina now from some cult leader. It's very curious what's happening here, that, you know, Artie totally is deflecting this interview. So here we are. Nick DePaulo has, I think, over 8,000 views on this interview with Artie, yet we have learned absolutely nothing. Yes, Sion, absolutely, there's at least two, if not three, obvious edits in this. So I'm not necessarily sure what it is, because, you know, usually Artie's very, very, very unfiltered. Also, somebody was just asking if this is the fullness of the interview. Princess Kitty, who originally posted it on our site, said that he is supposed to be back on at 8 o'clock with another part of the interview. So, yeah, Artie has not said anything at all. And it is now 7:50. So hopefully, you know, since we'll drag this out like a dog with no legs for the next 10 minutes, we'll be able to go back to him live and hopefully see some more of the interview. But let's hear what else Nick has to say about Nick and not about Artie.
You know, and, right. I don't mean a patsy set up by the government, but I want to shoot something in that theater, man, because people have had enough, you know, and they would eat up what right. you do too. People have had enough, you know.
Yeah, no, the Dallas, I played Dallas before, there's great crowds down there, man. It's a big country, dude, you know, and it's,
amen.
There's gotta be a place for people who are, you know, definitely on your level of ability of a comic, I mean, to thrive. And that's great. So, you know, you sound good. And,
you do too.
That's what I've been doing, man. That's what I've been keeping busy.
Well, very good, man, and I'm glad you're in good spirits. And stay clean, Artie, please, for everybody, because you're still a legend. And I do. I read a couple articles, and you mentioned me, and we went through a lot of shit together. But you know what?
Yeah,
life is too short. So
what's he laughing about? I'm not finding funny here. Not gonna lie.
Hang in there, brother, and we'll speak again. And we'll see you on thecomicsgym.com, the new platform where me and Artie will really cut loose. Not together. We have our own shows. So, but looking forward to it.
All right. What's that about? What is this comics thing that he's doing? Let's see. Due to technical difficulties, the full episode won't release until 8:30. We're not going to be able to drag this out another 45 minutes. Full episode won't release until 8:30 tonight. In the meantime, we're releasing an exclusive interview with Artie Lang. So does that mean I kind of feel like that's it for Artie, right? And that whatever else is part of his show is something else. So let's see. Support free speech via the Nick DePaulo show. Yeah, okay. You're exactly who I'm going to for free speech. Let's see. Free every Monday through Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern time. Blah, blah, blah. Ask Nick questions. I see Patreon, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Insta, Cameo, merchandise. So nothing about this new thing that they're going to be doing with each other, nor, quite honestly, do I think there is anything else about Artie here.
I can't wait to do that. It's going to be fun.
All right,
and,
brother.
Love.
What was that again?
Shit together, but you know what?
Yeah.
life is too short, so hang in there, brother, and we'll speak again. And we'll see you on thecomicsgym.com, the new platform.
All right, I'm going to look that up right this moment so we can see what it is. Thecomicsgym.com. All right, so let's go visit the Comics Gym and see what's going on over there. We can we could talk about it and see what the hell it is. Okay. The Comics Gym, where comedians work out. Wow, that took a lot of thought. It's kind of like naming your yellow lab Snowy or something. Yeah, I know. Me neither. I'm actually drinking fucking Gatorade. Tiger Lily, you'd be proud of me. I played golf today, and it was really, really hard, but I did pretty good. Nick was talking to him like a friend. Just what's up? Get the feet wet. Yeah. I get that. But fuck, you've been gone for 6 months. And number one, I think Artie maybe got about, I don't know, 15 words in throughout the entirety of the interview. We kind of parsed through it earlier just to kind of understand what was going on. Nick is transitioning into a ketchup bottle. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what Artie's full-time job is. What did he say at the beginning? Sion says, the Comics Gym originally bombed and only Artie's YouTube got views. So can we at least Nick got him to talk. Didn't you guys have a wild conspiracy about Artie being in Miami living with his mom? No, our first thing was that he was living with his mom. Somebody else had written to me and said that they thought he was in Florida living with his mom. I think he might still be in New Jersey, but you know what? Supposedly he is living with his mom. But we don't really know what's going on there. So let me take a look at this Comics Gym. So it's the classic people that they would always, of course, have. Nick DiPaolo, Artie Lang, Jim Florentine, Otto and George, Mitch Fatel, and more. Launching Monday, November 9th, free and uncensored. So today is the 5th. Does that mean that this is something that Artie's going to be doing, like, right from the get-go? So November 21st, Nick DiPaolo live from Las Vegas. November 28th, Jim Florentine live from Agunquit, Maine. Live performances in front of live audiences streaming live to comedy fans around the world. I don't see Artie doing this anytime in the very near future, considering the fact that he didn't even let us see him currently. I don't think that that's actually a happening for Artie yet. It is a who's who of used to be on the Stern Show, but all of them kind of stem through Bob Levy and from Artie. You know, these were like their crew of people. I wanted to also, I mean, this is of absolutely no interest to us whatsoever, as we know. I did also because, you know, I think it's kind of funny that he would spend 90% of that interview talking about Otto and George. Somebody on our forum found the actual Otto and George thing that he was talking about. So not sure if it's as funny, but let's take a look, see at that shit and see what it is. Okay. What is Tiger Lily saying? No, there is nothing. They never do. You know, that's the problem with most comedians. You know, that's what they do for a living and that's what they should stick to. You know what? You're exactly right, Sion. I bet you that was originally what happened. But, you know, Bob's been talking about moving to Florida, and now we have Shuli in Alabama and Nick DiPaolo in fucking Savannah. I mean, it's just kind of bizarre how Right. Otto is dead. So how are they on the comic gym? I don't know. So let's see this. What was this guy's name? Bobby something. I saw him in concert one time when I was really, really young. I thought he was so fucking funny. But I can't remember what – I can't remember his name right this second. You guys will remember for me in a moment. So let me blow this up. And here he is with what's-her-face.
He's a friend of mine. They always want to present some really fine entertainment at the AVN show. And I think you're going to like this guy. He's going to present the award for most outrageous sex scene. I don't know if you've seen him on TV. He's a very famous guy. He wrote the Ten Commandments, ladies and gentlemen. Please give a big hello to the comedy team of Otto and George.
Oh, my God. Thank you. Bobby Slayton. He was so fucking funny. Thank you. Thank you for getting that to me. All right. I don't know from Otto and George. This is, you know, I don't really watch this kind of joke shit. So let's take a listen, shall we?
Thank you very much, everybody. Is everybody in a great mood?
That's the ugliest puppet I've ever seen in my entire life. I'm not saying anything for, I don't know which one's Otto and which one's George.
Thank you for coming to the 1996 Porno Awards. My name is Otto, and this is my friend George. How you doing, George? I want to thank everybody. I want to thank the band, Bobby Slayton, the producer, my manager, Rick.
Hey, why don't you just blow everybody in the fucking building? It would take less time. I am so fucking horny. Listen, if I don't score at the party later, I'm going to have to fuck you in the ass.
All right, come on.
Come on, pal. Let me fuck you. Two loads in your ass like a Maytag.
All right, come on.
Okay, even porn stars don't find him funny.
I forgot to add the fabric softener, a cock.
All right. It's a great crowd, isn't it, George?
Yeah. How many people jerk off? I like to watch the women masturbate. They rub that pussy like a genie's gonna pop out of there.
All right. Pussy! All right.
I like that word, pussy. I don't like beaver. I never saw one that could chew wood yet.
All right.
You know... Okay, I'm going to go out on a limb and say this guy's probably Jewish also, because it just seems to me that every middle to older age Jewish guy grew up in Long Island decided that they thought that they were going to be either magicians or fucking puppeteers. And Howard obviously went the puppet way as well. But I'm kind of thinking that exactly. Psycho Lily just said it. Dear Comics and Stern Show, lose the fucking puppets. Yeah, when porn stars don't even think you're funny, and you know half of them are all like, you know, coked up and fucked up, if they don't find you funny, I don't know what it is with Jews and puppets. All I know is that there are lots of like kids. They, you know, I guess, you know, they're sitting in their basement and that's what they do. I mean, they play with themselves and they play with fucking puppets. I don't know.
You look good. I'm going to fuck you in the ass later, pal. All right. You're going to wear the Santa hat, right? All right, never mind, George. Suck that cock. Listen.
I hate everything about this. That puppet looks like, you know, I hate to keep referring back to the Twilight Zone, but he looks like the creepiest fucking puppet. Look at the face. It's horrific.
I am so horny. I was walking in the casino. I went by the crap table. I dropped a fucking load on the cum line.
Let's spit his band. What do you think, Greg, right?
Get killed, a bunch of junkies.
All right, now.
Roll the joint.
All right, take it easy. George, you made an adult film, didn't you?
No big deal. I made the first porno movie with all puppets. It's called Caligula, Fran, and Ollie. Yeah, I fucked Miss Piggy in this movie. I corked that bitch.
All right.
Bacon shot out of her ass. I did it to her froggy style.
All right.
Laugh it off, a bunch of fucking mummies.
All right.
Hey, did you know you could suck your own cock in a craftmatic bed?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, you put it on...
I hate this. I hate everything about it. I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm sorry, I can't do it. Sorry. horrible. It really is. It's absolutely unlistenable. I'm my head is starting to hurt me just from trying to. And okay, so no, he's not good at it. He's just not. This is horrible. And they're trying to make all the jokes to be like, you know, sexual innuendos. And it's like everybody in that audience, you know, every one of them is totally fucking, you know, tweaking out and fucking high on everything they can possibly get their hands on. Ain't nobody got time for this fucking guy's comic. And so, okay, is it Otto or is it George? Who is the, who's the puppet? I'm a little confused. And is he dead? This is what I need to know so that I can hit Comics Gym headliner. Exactly. This is what you get where comedians work out. Okay. Thank you, Scion. And hey to you, by the way. So George is the puppet. Otto is the other. Oh, he died of a heroin overdose. Interesting. So these are the people that, okay, so this particular skit is what Nick DiPaolo, who literally is emblematic of calling somebody a fucking redneck right now because he's beat fucking red. He owns several thousand guns. He smokes like a goddamn chimney and he lives in Georgia. So that's what's going on. All right. So I need to, while we're talking, and it's a shame that I have nobody else on with me because they would kill some time while I look up Otto and George so I can see who the hell they are. And what happened to him? Okay, his name is Otto Peterson. Oh, so he's not a Jewish guy. Okay. Oh, Otto Saul Peterson. I wonder if he had a grandpa Saul. Was an American ventriloquist known for his act Otto and George. Peterson began performing with George as a street act in Manhattan and Brooklyn in the early 70s. Blah, 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 blah. Born in Brooklyn, New York. Oh, see, you know, am I sort of almost right all the time? Hold on. I'm going to give you this. Give me a second. Let me go to his wiki really, really quickly so I can read to you and we can share. Danish father and Jewish mother, raised on Staten Island. Peterson began to perform as a ventriloquist when he was seven. Amongst his influences early life were watching Paul Winchell and his dummies, Jerry Mahoney, Knucklehead Smith. Bought his first dummy in 1974 for $350. Of course he did. Dropped out of high school, became a street performer at 13. Ay, ay, ay. Of course, he did the Catskills. Nursery rhymes, humorous, gross alliterations, blah, blah, blah. John Lennon gave him $2 after watching him perform in Central Park with Yoko Ono. I doubt he performed with Yoko Ono. That's written horribly. So I guess John Lennon and Yoko Ono gave him $2 while watching him perform. His originally dummy, his name George, which he had used for 2 years, was stolen from a duffel bag he had in his car. Peterson was a guest on Opie and Anthony. Oh, yeah, another show I didn't really listen to. He also appeared on the Howard Stern Show, Penn and Teller, blah, blah, blah. Peterson was George Carlin, or 30, illness and death. Okay, June 3rd, 2013, he fell ill with bacterial meningitis and was placed in a coma for nearly a week. He had recovered in the following month. Comedian Reverend Bob Levy organized a stand-up. You know, Bob is such a good guy, always doing the stand-up show for somebody to help with his medical bills and loss of income. He died in his sleep in New Jersey at age 53 in 2014. Survived by his longtime partner, Trish Conti, mother, Sylvia, brother, Tom, and sister, Lona. So, yeah, there you go. There's the life and time of Otto and George. All right. So I'm firmly going to believe that that's it for Nick DiPaolo with Artie Lang, right? Because I'm kind of going to – Trish Conti. Conti, not Conti. I knew somebody growing up whose last name was Conti, and they called her Conti all the time. It was horrible. It was horrible. Yes, George was stolen like the Gary puppet. So, yeah, I don't think that the Artie interview continues with Nick DiPaolo. They did kind of wrap that up, and I think that he was done. So anybody who did not listen to the beginning of the interview in a nutshell, Artie basically said that he was doing Zoom AA meetings and that he basically needed to step out of the, let's call it limelight for a little while. But it seemed like he was somewhere forced. Like, it seems like he was somewhere where he needed to be there and not that it was necessarily somewhere he wanted to be. So I'm not really necessarily sure that he is in a happy space. I mean, what do you guys think? Can you kind of let me know what you're doing? Did they drop a hint of new podcast they both will be on soon? Yeah, we were stuttering John Zacy. Yeah, we were just talking about that and that they're going to be on something called the gym. I've already lost my complete train of thought on it because it was so stupid and boring. I think it was called the comedy gym or the comics gym or something like that. And what they're going to be doing is streaming live performances by comedians. And so Artie is supposed to be okay. Stern Fan Nation, you've met Artie. You've been to the Artie thing. What's your thoughts just in terms of what you heard of Artie just now? I'm just kind of curious what your thoughts are. Where comedians work out. Yeah, exactly. What do? They work out their material? Is that what they're doing? They're going to like small venues as if they could get larger ones. And they're just, you know, just honing their chops at like, you know, Smitty's Barbecue and Firehouse in, you know, Shreveport. What exactly is it that they're working out? I just don't even really understand that. I think it's kind of stupid. Yeah, Hack Shuley, I think, was supposed to be live somewhere in Alabama sometime. Yeah, Cyan, I agree with you completely. I think it was a terrible, terrible interview. I thought he got absolutely nothing out of him. But conversely, I think Artie was asking a lot of the questions, which is the classic ploy that Howard does as well. When they don't want to answer questions, they flip it around onto the host and they start asking the questions instead. And so that's what they decide to do. So Stern Fan Nation, staying clear of the limelight and taking time. They need to be sober and sane. Yeah, I agree. I hope that's what's happening, but I'm not going to lie. I think I would have pressed a little bit more to just kind of have a conversation about, you know, what was the impetus for, you know, having a tweet. Your last tweet was on, I think it was like April 4th, somebody had mentioned. So your last tweet was on April 4th. What was happening in your life right at that moment, right at that very fucking moment that made you say that April 4th was going to be the last day that you were either seen or heard from or spoke to anybody? And trust me, I talk to so many people that are like Stern Show adjacent. Every single one of them has said, yeah, I heard he's doing okay. I heard. But nobody really knew anything to that was concrete. You know, and Nick DiPaolo. Okay, he spelled it wrong. Nick DiPaolo is a filthy asshole. That's how he loses. The minute Artie starts back on social media and comedy shows, he'll end up using again. Listen, let's hope that he doesn't. And totally, totally, I agree with you completely, Linair 820. Basically, Nick rubbing into Artie's face that he can afford his own place and is having a great life. But you know what? Really, is he having a great life? He's living in like some, you know, probably small house in Savannah. You know, he's thrilled that he has a backyard. So, okay. I'm telling you, it's like the witness protection program. It's like, you know, once you listen, you took me out of Brooklyn and you gave me some greenery. I thought it was in fucking Central Park when I had an acre of land. So yeah, I get it, I guess, but I don't know. I think that's kind of like a weird place to move to. I don't know. Got nothing. Yeah. Okay, so I think that's really it. Nick's redness is due to his heart disease brought on by cartons of cigarettes he smokes a day. Yeah, you're probably right. And you know what? Not going to lie. I think he is kind of juicing a little bit. So probably between the roids and the smoking, you know, and he's got that kind of weird, like, wrestler gravelly growl to his voice that I think also sometimes maybe comes with steroids, you know? Yeah, so he does sound like he literally is like 2 seconds away from a fucking heart attack. Yeah, better than living with his mother. That's true. They are grown men. Over owning your own place shouldn't be a brag. Yeah, it was kind of weird that he would do that, like that he would brag to Artie about that, the shit that he has. But, you know, to be fair, Artie did ask him. And I think that that was, you know, the classic deflection. So Artie deflected from asking any kind of serious questions. And I think that also Nick DiPaolo probably doesn't really know how to Nick probably doesn't even know how to ask serious questions to Artie because he knows the animal. And maybe Artie just didn't want to go there. Maybe Artie had a thing with him that said, okay, I'll come on the show, but I don't really want to talk about where I am or what I've been doing. Other than saying basically that, you know, he's okay, he's doing fine, thanks for everybody. I knew it was you, Jerry. I knew that, silly. So yeah, that's all I got. There was something that one of the guys on our thing posted today. His name is Boff, and he posted something about a dump that Howard was trying to do today. And let's take a listen to that really, really quickly. And if you want to talk about that for a hot minute, we can do that as well. We did all kind of think it was curious. I was going to save it for another show, but since it's fairly topical, we can talk about it. Oh, Stuttering John was also live on his porch with Opie. I didn't listen to that either, Princess Kitty. So if you have any kind of information on that, I'd like to hear about it. Brent Hatley had his super steamy Halloween swingers party, which is kind of heinous and gross. Okay. Caller named Jim mentions Howard suing Scott Einzinger. Howard seems to try to use the dump button, but says he doesn't know if it worked. So that's exactly what happened. Sorry, I have a cough. That's exactly what happened. I'm going to see if I can grab this clip for us so that I can play it. So if you give me like 2 seconds, I will do that. Copy. Oh, I can actually do it right from here. So just give me one quick second. Hang on. Okay, here we go. So let me throw this on for us. Let's take a listen, and you let me know if what you think he was trying to do is dump the audio. Yeah, I didn't listen either. You know, I just hate it. But yeah, let's take a listen, and you let me know. You want to look at the swinger picks too? Okay, we'll do that. And you let me know if what he was trying to do was dump mention of the lawsuit with Scott Einzinger. Okay, so we don't need to look at that. We'll just take a listen.
Tell you, I've said this on the air before, but you bring up a good point. When I ran for governor, I was goofing around, and all of a sudden, with the most ridiculous statements that I made about, you know, executing people and filling in the potholes with their crispy remains, you know, and saying that after I won, I would resign because I didn't know what I was doing. I was moving to the front of the polls here in New York.
Okay, that's a complete and utter crock of shit. He was not moving to the front of the polls. He was barely coming in fourth. And as anybody who knows anything about politics knows, that the Libertarian Party gives nothing. You know, there is nothing about them that anybody wants to hear from. The reality is he didn't want to tell people what his real address was. So he gave like a fictitious address somewhere in Long Island, and he didn't want to tell people how much he earned. And that was part of the full disclosure that you needed to do on the paperwork in order to file to run for governor. And, you know, he had to know, listen, what was he going to do? Run the state and be on fucking air? Yeah, I mean, it was all for publicity. It's not a shot in hell that he was actually leading the polls. I remember listening to it very clearly at the time, and he was barely in third place.
For real. Yeah. It was
because
a three-way race.
And
yes.
Yeah.
And you're right. It, you know, and I got,
yeah, you
so
exposed
scared.
Something that was not as prevalent as it is today.
So you need to sue the Trump administration and campaign the same way you sued Scott Einzinger. He stole your ideas.
Well, listen. I
Check this out.
Listen to me. I want to make a serious point. When I ran for governor, let me sure I did this right. Okay.
Listen to this.
I don't know if it worked. Anyway, when I ran for governor, hold on a second. I got a technical issue. Did that work, guys? What I just did?
Trying to do the dump, and he couldn't get it working fast enough, I guess. So he was trying to completely avoid the Scott Einzinger thing. Pretty positive that they settled that out of court, and he's probably not even allowed to mention it on air. So that's hence the dump attempt.
Did Detroit just flip? Is it true democratic
all right, never
now?
Mind. Okay. Doesn't matter. Where was I? We had a little technical glitch.
When you
I apologize.
Ran for governor.
Yes, when I ran for governor.
Ran for governor and
it freaked me out that so many people were voting for me that I had to get out. I was afraid for New York State that they were going to make me governor.
How could people be voting for him? They weren't voting for him. None of what he's saying is true. Not a single thing that he just said was true. Yeah, 79-79. Yeah, it totally threw him off. Like, he couldn't even. So it's kind of curious. It's almost like a poker tell. You know, him saying, listen to me. I kind of feel like maybe that's like his go-to thing to say while he's trying to kind of catch up with what he's attempting to talk about. Is that kind of weird? I don't know. You tell me what you think. Okay, the next thing I want to share really, really quickly, because I don't even want to like drag this out, because I know it makes everybody vomit. But yeah, let's take a look at the lovely Hatleys and what they wore for Halloween this year. Woohoo! Let me see if I can blow this up a little bit for you so you can get the full effect. Okay, so clearly this is anti-retarded Brent's doppelganger. I don't know if he's dressed as a skeleton as well. I'm dying to come back and like look at your comments on this, but let's keep this picture up nice and friendly right here, and we can talk about it. So yeah, so you've got mental patient Brent, who really should have just gone like the guy from the fucking Hills Have Eyes. All he had to do was put on like a raggy fucking jacket. He would have been fine. And then the guy on the other side is like anti-Brent, doppelganger, also dressed as a skeleton. Okay, so the girl on Brent's right side, that's, you know, dressing like your skin and bones. And you have to buy it in a size like 18 doesn't really bode well for you looking like a skeleton. Then we have the lovely, I can smell the VD through my screen. I now need a tennis shot because of this photo. As you can see, there's the lovely Mrs. Hatley with vampire pasties on her enhanced titties. And then this thing yet to be determined with some weird, I guess she's an angel, and I guess those are wings. I guess that's what passes for a costume in the middle of Tampa. I don't really know. And there, I guess, then would be her friend, who's also dressed as an angel with her hair in a lovely ombre braid and a thong underwear. Oh, right. Of course. Of course, if you're going to dress like a skeleton, let's have room for our phone in one pocket. Florida. And our fucking flip-flops. Yeah. Yeah, that's what you got. I almost can smell the water and vinegar douche that's slightly scented like cooch, along with beer and maybe the garlic knots that they ate right prior to coming in for a family picture. Okay, if there are more pictures, then I need to see them. I know that there is another picture of... oh, one of Biznick's best pieces of work ever. Oh, my God. That is so funny to me. Yeah, she is a little heavy for a skeleton. Yes, this is exactly right. I know there were other pictures. I don't know if I follow them on Instagram. I need to get to that immediately, if not sooner. Let me see if I can... Oh, look at this. Look at this beauty. Here we go. Here we go. Look what goes on here. I bet you this is one of those like really super steamy outfits that were on her Amazon wish list a couple of months ago. I'm fairly certain that could be had in an XXL for about $16.59. And it looks worth every fucking penny. All right, it was on his Twitter. So let me see if I can, get there really. I was on Twitter. Shit. I'll have to use one of my alternate Twitter feeds in order to do that. All right. Give me a second. Let me see if I can. Let me see if I have that listed here. Because if I don't, then I definitely don't know what the password is. Oh, but maybe he doesn't block me. Hold on. Let's see. Brent Hatley. Here we go. He doesn't block me. Shocking. All right, here we go. Let's take a look at what's super steamy. Maybe he'll attempt to sue me for going onto his very public Twitter. Yeah, the yoga is really paying off. All right, here, Brent Hatley Show. So here is our lovely Caitlin. Which, you know, if you didn't know any better or what she looks like, I mean, obviously the, you know, frazzled, light blonde, sun in spray coloring would probably give it away because, you know, Florida. You might think that she's, you know, like sort of sexy in her own way. Let's see what else we've got going on here. Oh, let me just go to his media. That'll make it easier. Here we go. Okay. Yeah, so there's Caitlin's tits, again, with probably something that she got on Amazon for about $4.57. Okay, let's move on. Ooh, that's... those tits look a little fucking wonky, not gonna lie. It's like one of them is looking at the carpet and the other one is looking at the camera. And I'm not exactly sure what the fuck is going on here. Oh, Jesus Christ. This is, I wouldn't really be showing these on Twitter, not gonna lie. Oh, hello. Yeah. Remember we talked about like the stainage in the crack of her ass? This still exists and it is true. I don't know. You know, sometimes those girls on Instagram and shit, they can do like an amazing job photoshopping. I actually would have just cut a square like right from the panty down into the fucking kneecap. I'm kind of thinking that would have looked a little bit better than what's going on here. All right, let's see if there's any more. Hang on. Okay, now there I am. You know, wonky tits. Yeah, even my dog doesn't appreciate that. Oh, here she is. As a latex nun, perchance? She obviously had a lot of costume changes for the festivities that were Halloween this year. So yeah, I guess that's what goes for sexy nun these days. You know, that latex is probably really, really earning its money right now on her ass. Not gonna lie. Artie is on. Okay. Let's go back. Let's go see. Please hold the line here so that I can get my shit together and find Nick DiPaolo's stupid ass show again. So hang on, give me 2 seconds while I do that, and you guys can stare at Caitlin's tits for a hot second, and let me see what is going on with subscriptions. I just subscribe. Oh, did I? Oh, I didn't even subscribe to him because I suck so bad. Nick DiPaolo. Nick DiPaolo, a breath of fresh air. Sure you are. All right, how do I do this? Hold on. Let me go there really quickly. Give me a moment. Videos. Premiering now.
Here's the beauty of that, Artie. 30 acres? I'm going to go down there every weekend with
Wait, so I see that it's on, but is this a repeat of what was? she looks like she hated none. Princess Kitty, is it just a replay of? I know Artie takes priority, but what we're listening to on the Nick DiPaolo right this second is, I think it's a fucking repeat of what he had before. So hang on 1 second. Here, I'm going to go to it right now. Let me just make sure that I... Sorry. You know, I'm trying to rush this fucking shit. I forgot to share audio. Let me see. I think it's the same interview, my friends.
30 acres. Holy shit. Like, but so where you live in just a regular house?
I live in I just have a nice little backyard and I live on like the most beautiful street in Savannah. That's from people Savannah say that. So yeah, no, it's very nice. But again, the best part is the airport is 18 minutes away. My work is 9 minutes away. Anytime they need something, it's a college town, so it's not like a bunch of old people. There's young people, and it's got everything. And you know, I know you can't drink anymore, but they have the most beautiful bars and restaurants. I was looking online at some old shows of you and I, of the Nick and Artie show. I found the clip. And I think the hardest we both laugh was you were talking.
Okay, so I think we've established that it's a repeat. He wanted to get the Artie thing on for some notoriety of it. I mean, obviously he's got like almost 3,000 people watching now, so good for him. And Trump decries election tampering. Artie Lang joins the show. Nick makes a huge announcement. So I guess he was just trying to get the Artie thing out there. I mean, all the people that are on the chat right now are asking questions about it, but they're probably not realizing that this is actually pre-recorded, so it's not really a live show, and they're not doing anything that that we haven't already discussed. So just for a hot moment, we'll go back to... That was so funny. What was just said about Caitlin? That was just the funniest fucking thing. Hey, Princess Kitty, will you just let us know if there's anything more to it? Because I'm going to go with I doubt that highly. I think there's nothing to it. This made me laugh my ass off. She looks like she's wearing a lobster bib. Let me just see if there's any more pictures of that super stupid steamy couple. Oh, wait, hold on. I think we have one more. Look at all the changes she's making. She's just so prolific. There she is as big-tittied schoolgirl, I guess. This is her Britney's, you know, really with the belly ring. Seriously. She's kicking off Halloween. Oh, here she is, kicking off more Halloween. Just fucking... Oh, Lord. You can almost spell that out right here. Lord. What the actual fuck? Yeah, I'm not putting it on again. I just took it off. We're just looking at Caitlin for a hot second so that I can end the show with some shocking stuff. Consistency of Reacher's bowel movements. Yeah, no, okay, we're not going to do that. Yeah, I know. No, she's not hiding the meat curtains. No, she's not. Look what's going on down here, ladies and gentlemen. This is not a pretty sight. Not going to lie. I'm waiting for him to sue me for, like, showing pictures from Halloween. Ay. This is a horse of a different color. Okay, any more? Oh, look, here she is. Wonder Tits woman. That's an outfit. So kind of curious exactly how many parties they went to that enabled her to do all these. God help me. This is just too much for us. Yeah, except Kelly Ripa could literally curl up and fit to her left fucking tit. Like, seriously, Kelly Ripa is the most anorexic human being. Kelly Ripa, with her thighs together, is one of Caitlyn's legs. She's so fucking skinny. I don't know what's going on in these pictures. Not gonna lie. Last time I saw something packed like that, it was a sausage. What is this? Hey, Mo, what do you think of Ronnie the limo driver's reaction to not being a team player with Wiggy Show? Yeah, I talked about that earlier. I think you weren't on yet. Not answering to who we vote for, leaving Wiggy for 25 seconds of dead air. Ronnie also saying that he's totally done with the show forever at the end of the year. Well, he was always done with the show at the end of the year. Like, he was always planning on retiring and moving to Las Vegas, where he has friends that Howard swears wouldn't be his friends if it wasn't for Howard, which makes him a dick to begin with. Two things. You know, Ronnie stood his ground as he wanted to, but it also made Ronnie weirdly not a team player. I think the whole bit was completely douchey and cringeworthy. Nobody gives a fuck whether Ralph is gay or not. And how can it possibly be a burning question that Howard doesn't know when Ralph has been with him for over 25 years? So I find that completely and utterly ridiculous. I think he was just trying to goad him into it and basically being a baby about it. And I think it's totally fine for Ronnie to have not answered him and told him to go fuck himself. And honestly, I mean, does Ronnie really need to be at his beck and call? Here we are on November 5th, especially if he's retiring at the end of the year, which basically means there's probably only about, I don't know, what, 20, 25 shows left. So who really gives a rat's ass? You know what? I might stand my ground and say, you know, fuck you, I'm off. And just, you know, just click off of the fucking Zoom chat. You know, I think he had every right to do that. And I think it was, like, very cringeworthy, and they spent entirely too much time on it. I mean, that whole thing went on for days and days and days, and, you know, it got to a point where I just zoned out. I haven't really been listening that much at all. And that's why at the beginning of the show, I profusely apologize for us not having done like a good weeks in review. There's nothing to review. You know, when you have 2 hours of fucking Eddie Vedder that nobody really gives a rat's ass about. And then, you know, another 2 hours. Who was the other person he had on the other week? And it was just so boring. It's just insipid radio. And it just hurt my ears to listen to. And, you know, I would fast forward through all of the interviews. Then it would go back to Ronnie. And then it would go back to COVID. And then it would go back to, you know, what's wrong with all you fucking morons for, you know, going outside and trying to, like, breathe air and live your lives just a little bit while he's holed up in his basement scared of the fucking universe. So, you know, I don't think 15 shows left. Thank you so much for answering that question for me. Right. So 15 shows left. So does Ronnie need to? Okay. I'll take it off. Sorry. Let's just see what's next so we can continue. Oh, look, that's even better. Look at this. Cooch Patrol. God. You know what? Strippers don't even wear this shit anymore. Like, seriously. This is you know who would like this? Bubba would like this. This is why Brett Hatley is who he is, and this is why this fucking douchebag got fired. This is Florida fucking Blanco debris of the highest order. I'm sure they never really fit in New York. And I'd also like to know if Caitlyn is actually working a real job. She used to be in commercial. She used to be in commercial real estate. And here, Brent Hatley, party show on demand with Bake Caitlyn Hatley on Twitch. We've had enough of this week, so we're ending it today with gummies, craft beers, funnels, and more. Let's get ripped because the world is nuts. Woohoo! Yeah. This is actually probably her best outfit. But, you know, again, that's not saying a lot. This is as bad as it gets. I can't believe I went back to this. Look at how many costume changes she's doing. What is going on here? Wow. This is all that, like, you know, $14.99 shit. You know, it's barely stitched together. I'd be surprised if it's not hot glue gunned onto her fucking bodice here. It's really awful. Oh, that's nice. That's. How about I leave it with that picture so we can continue talking? How's that? I know it is sad. It's kind of disgusting. Yeah, see, Princess Kitty, it did kind of sound like they were wrapping up when he did that initial throw up of the show this morning, this afternoon. So it kind of did sound like the wrap up. Yeah, you know, it's amazing that you can, let me see, go to his retweets. He posts these every day. Yeah, that's what I'm looking through right this second is his tweets. So yeah, this is what you get if you go to the Hatleys and go see what they do. Okay, so this is what he does every day. So he lures people into his Twitch with his wife's tits, basically. Gosh, that's some kind of something. So yeah, now you got to see what Caitlin was doing for Halloween this year. All right, so yeah, so we learned absolutely nothing about Artie. And yeah, I took him off. I took them off. That was way too much. Well, yeah, but there was no titty or anything like that. There was nobody naked. So I think that was okay to show. You know, they were all very classy and very, you know, very much on the up and up, kind of like something that you would see in, like, oh, I don't know, you know, the college girls edition of Playboy. I don't know. All right, so yeah, it is educational. That's exactly right. You needed to know what was going on in Brent Hatley's life, and you know, we did it so that you don't have to. That's it. So yeah, what did we learn today, ladies and gentlemen? At 8:36 at night, we learned nothing. That's what we learned. Yes, it was very tastefully done. We learned that Artie is speaking, and we don't know anything else. So we had no visual. We had no where he is. We had no what he was doing. We had nothing. And that's basically what we learned. That's all we got from Artie. So how we were able to, nobody does, baby. Nobody gets up and says, I think I'll wear a net. She could catch fish with that fucking net and that fucking cooch if she tried really, really hard. So we got nothing. So here we are. We spent an hour and 37 minutes parsing through Nick DiPaolo's interview with Artie Lang and absolutely gleaned nothing out of it other than Artie's alive. So I am going to reach out to him on Twitter via PM, where I have had a long ongoing conversation with him, and see if maybe we can score a little chat with him. I think that would be awesome if he did do that for us. And that caught a whale. I think it would be awesome if he did that for us. So I will try. I do also want to let you guys know, if you come to Radio Gunk and come to the forum section, or if you just shoot me out an email at radiogunkmisc@gmail.com. That's the one I usually go to like talk about stuff. If you want to shoot me out an email, if there's any guests that you really have an interest in hearing on our show, I'd like to hear what your thoughts are on it. Keeping in mind the fact that some people we just simply can't get a hold of, and other people, such as, I won't say any names, but their initials are Steve Langford. You know, I've talked to him like 5,000 times about coming on the show, and he's still really reticent to do it because he, I guess, you know, like most of them who don't come on the show, you know, are really scared that there's going to come a point where they need Howard for something. I don't know. I think it's delusional, but that's what they think. So if it actually winds up that Howard does leave Sirius in January, I think a lot of them will come out of the woodwork, and a lot more people will be willing to talk to me. You know, I've spoken to Lisa G. I've spoken to Steve Langford. I've spoken to pretty much everybody on that stupid news team, other than, you know, the guy who's dead now. And And yeah, so a lot of people would love to come on the show. They just don't want to do it now. So yeah, voicemails are still happening. You can always dial us. Hold on, I'm going to put the other banner on. You can dial us at 252 Radio Gunk. And you can leave us a voicemail on there. And we are doing a voicemail show at some point in the near future. I don't know when that's happening. Not going to lie. But we will be doing something else with that. Yeah, Lisa G rejected me like 3 times. So did Tracy Millman. Yeah, whatever. Yes, Score Show. Yes, oh my God, Score Show. I know. You know, all the shows that take actual research and work are really hard to kind of pull together for us because it just involves everybody being on the same page. You know, it was super easy for me alone to do the Ian Halperin show because I read the book, I took notes, copious notes. You know, I made a list of questions that I thought would be of interest to you guys, and we got through like a really, really good interview. So, yeah, the Score Show, I know Grillo wants to be on that, and I know Chauncey wants to be on that. So, I promise you that I will get my shit together to get that one done in the very near future. Like I mentioned at the beginning of the show, I'm going to be doing something with Matt, who used to be on the Minifan show, and hopefully Arm, who I asked to join us. And we're just going to go through some of Gilbert's most outrageous moments on the Stern show, which I think will be really funny for a lot of people to listen to because he compiled an amazing array of stuff for us. So I think we're doing that on Tuesday night live at like 8 o'clock. And then hopefully we'll be able to do some semblance of a Weeks in Review maybe on Thursday. And then I'll see if I can get Chauncey and Grillo together and maybe we'll tape something over the weekend to air the following week on Scores because I have a lot of stuff with that and a lot of gossip with it as well. And I think it could be a really fun show. Okay, so that's it. That's all I've got. And now I'm going to go watch a little bit of Tibbly before I go to bed. There's really nothing on right now. I'm watching that Nicole Kidman thing on HBO Max, which is just okay. I just finished something, oh my God, called The Queen's Gambit, which was fucking amazing. I mean, it was about chess, which is something I don't really have an interest in, but the show itself, 7 episodes, it was fucking brilliant. And yeah, that's it. That's all I got. So thank you, everybody, and thank you for coming. And oh, Boys 2 was fucking amazing. That was just a phenomenal show. Yeah, and so I did the show so that we didn't have to, you know, think about what's happening with the election because that's really what's been, you know, just feeding my brain day and night, almost like the days after 9/11, you know, where you're just constantly putting on the news to see what's going on. And I was just tired of doing that. So here we are doing a show. So yeah, thank you everybody for coming and joining me here. And Reacher says hi. Reacher, you want to say hi to everybody? Reacher? Reacher. Oh, he's getting old, my poor baby. He's just like, what? Leave me alone. Yeah, no, he doesn't want to move. All right, guys. Thank you. Love you so much. You have a great night. And I will talk to you again next week. So goodbye.